Welcome to the Round 13 Supercoach Coach Podcast. This is Marcus, and this week we've got FB Donkey back. Welcome, mate.
Thanks, mate. First time back for about 3 weeks. Finally got a little bit of civilization where we can connect. Those who have listened to the Patreon podcast would have realized that we had a few connectivity issues. I'm currently sitting in a car park. It is pretty hot in the car. It's 30 plus, and you are interrupting my swimming schedule, but I think we'll make it through.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Much appreciated. Yeah, we tried something last night. Said had to do it over a phone call. So had all the backups set today. I'm glad we could make our normal recording setup work. So before we kick off with Supercoach, why not start off with Mark's Tales from the Road?
Tales from the Road. We went to Ormiston Gorge. That was absolutely magic. Devil's Marbles was beautiful, but we've just arrived in Mataranka. We've been here for maybe a week. There's thermal pools, so there's two different pools that are 34 degrees, crystal clear, swimming in both of them every single day for at least 3 or 4 hours a day. Staying on a farm while we're out here, so plenty of animals, kids everywhere. This is maybe the first place we've come across that we think we could actually live or stay here for several months. It's absolutely magic here. Loving it.
Very nice. And in Melbourne, recording this on a Tuesday, and we're having some news that we may be potentially released from our shackles for the long weekend that's coming up. So I'm hoping for some better times around the corner too. I'm sure you stopped receiving as much love on your updates during those last 2 weeks.
We have. People are a bit like, yeah, just shut up, mate.
All right, why don't we do a team update? How have you been traveling the last 3 weeks?
Pretty much treading water, I think. Went up the rank 250 spots this week. I posted 1947. I thought it was good. All my rookies did all right except RCD. So thought I was going all right and beat you, but stuck at about 7,000 in the ranking. And the next couple of weeks might have a big say in what happens to the rankings and see whether I can push into that top 5,000. How about you, mate? Last time I checked in, you're about 1,500 and killing it.
Yeah, I had a slight fall this week, 1877. I could have used my third trade on Toronto to Bont or on Flynn to CCJ, but I thought I'd just cop a slightly lower score this week and hopefully that will pay dividends down the track. But it would have been 120 points in 1 week with Toronto to Bont. So hopefully that doesn't continue to hurt Bont's in ripping form, but we'll see how that plays out. Dropped about 600 spots to just outside the 2,000 mark. Hoping for better times ahead. My round 14 is looking pretty good. Wow. Brought in McRae instead of Gordon, so I'm hoping that I'll get a bit of a leg up then. Just don't think I have the same pains as others do, and I might pass on Coleman Jones potentially. A quick Patreon update before we get onto some questions. Our top scorer in the Patreon group was Matt's team, the Bench Mob, scoring 2,100 for the week. So good score from the Bench Mob. And the leader of our Patreon group is still Roger's team, Charlie Kirkshow, scoring 1979 and sitting 244th overall. There's quite a lot of competition up in the top end of the Patreon group. Top scorer in our Supercoach Coach group was Paul's team, Return to Stender. So that's our public group. So huge score there. And should also call out Damien's team, Delicious. He's sitting 22nd overall and he scored 21-22. Some pretty big scores up at the top end. Paul's team, I guess, should also mention he's 123rd. So some pretty big scorers in our Supercoach Coach main group. All right. Now we're going to start off by just having a bit of a chat around some of the changes. So the buys have changed up because the West Coast Richmond game was pushed out by 1 week. We've been given two additional trades and up to one additional trade in this and next week, meaning that you can do four and four trades, eight trades in preparation for round 14. But of course, why it was given to cover donuts and how these trades will be used are two different things. And we're here to delve into a bit of the strategy. We had a bit of questions around sort of giving feedback to Supercoach and things like that. I mean, from my point of view, probably don't want to get into it too much, but as long as people stay engaged, I mean, the competition's not perfect. It's fairly luck-based. There's always going to be winners and losers out of whatever decision that they make. And I think one of the things that I'm not entirely sure of is like what was feasible was the reason why they didn't do best 15 because that's not something that the code base can handle. I really don't know. So just going to take it how it is. All I can say is that I think in the way that it's going to play out, it really is giving a bit of slack to the people who have burnt maybe a bit more aggressively through trades or had a bit of bad luck with injuries. I don't think it's actually playing out in the way where people are using it for the buys. And so I can understand the frustration for people who have relatively completed teams with trades to spare, like myself. I might be slightly disadvantaged because I can't use them as effectively. So I can understand why there's some angst there, but like I said, whatever decision they made, there would have been winners and losers out of it, and this game of a bit of luck. So I'm trying to have a big boy face and not get too worried about that. And for us, Mark, it's just figuring out how to make the most of it.
Well, first, I think I need to point out from your answer that obviously after being on the AFL Herald Sun Supercoach official podcast a couple of weeks ago, you have been completely co-opted, taking the party line these days, and obviously offering no criticism whatsoever. Is that where we're at? Personally, I think it's normally my job to have a bit of a go at them, but I don't mind this situation that we've got here. So as long as it's consistent, I think I'm happy to just deal with whatever they serve up. I think it's going to be very, very interesting coming round 14. It sounds like your team is pretty well set up, whereas most other teams are probably going to struggle a bit. I think I'm hearing some teams talk about only having 12 players. I've probably got about 15 before trades, so hoping to maybe do a side swap here or there. Pretty much use those extra two trades to do two things, which is alleviate some of the pain of round 14, so reduce some of the buy pressure, but then get rid of maybe some underperforming premiums or players that I might not have gotten rid of otherwise.
Yeah, you should know, Mark, that I only call it KFC Supercoach now.
So. Do you get like a go bucket every week or some just Uber Eats is free now?
Got some socks, some sweets. No, I've got nothing. Damn it.
Wow.
Shouldn't be selling my soul for nothing. That's all right.
If McDonald's wanted to sponsor us, we would potentially be happy to call it McDonald's Supercoach or something like that.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, if any sponsors want to come our way, we'll call it whatever.
Yeah, the Jack from the Hamish and Andy podcast does have two peanut butter sponsors. I'd like to just at least get one.
Yeah, that'd be quite nice. Yeah, we're not asking for cash payment. You're welcome to just send us goods. Our bar's low. So we got a question from Peter Holmes asking, is it worth compromising our teams to try and cover for round 14 or just accept the donuts and worry about the rest of the season? I'm seeing a lot of teams out there that are looking at half of their players missing in round 14, for example.
Yeah.
So even if you use multiple trades over the next 2 weeks, there's a chance that you just scrape getting 18, and that may require you to bring in players that you might not even want to do that.
The first part of that question that needs to be answered is it an overall strategy or a league strategy? Because I think with a league strategy, it will impact your percentage, which could make a difference if it's quite a tight league. But if you're that bad off in round 14, I'd be very tempted to just completely throw that round and put all my eggs into other baskets and use these trades to make your team better in the longer term. If you are focused on rankings, then you probably can't let it get that bad. So it can be bad, but maybe just not that bad. Minimizing damage would definitely be an approach that I would be using. I guess the tricky bit is that you don't really want to be bringing in rookies that are going to score 30 to 50 points and using an entire trade for that when it could be a rookie that comes in, plays one game and gets dropped, or even comes in and is the sub and gets dropped. I really wouldn't be focusing too hard on getting to 18 if the players you're bringing in are really dodgy rookies. I think that longer term, that could really, really cost your team a lot more than the few points that you get from that buy round.
Yeah, and we spent quite a bit of time during yesterday's Patreon recording covering this in a little bit of depth, so we won't spend too much time more than on it than that. If you'd like to get a little bit more in terms of broader trade strategy or implications in terms of balancing your buys, we did go quite deep yesterday. Instead, probably going to focus a little bit more on some specific decisions to assist community members with some examples of turning some of that more strategy-based talk into advice on trades. And we have a question here from One-Eyed Eagles. He's only looking at 12 potential playing in round 14. So Does that mean you'd look at trading out a Jordan and a Warner this week early? we talked about this on the Patreon as well. He also asks whether or not we should be thinking about trading away Grundy, which we did talk about in the Patreon show. So I guess how aggressively are you trading out around 14 players, even this round, Mark?
I think it's every team's different. If you've only got 12, then you probably want to be extra aggressive and really, really focused on that. Personally, it is a focus for my team, trying to make sure that I have numbers and getting rid of those round 14 players. But I guess, like, I've got Poulter and a couple of others that are not actually ready to go just yet. So even though it's a focus, I'd really like to get another game out of Poulter before trading him out. I guess in some senses, this week's trades are actually preempting, not necessarily trading out Poulter this week, but preempting the fact that I am going to do that next week and he's going to be taking up one of those trades next week. Yeah, it's definitely a huge focus in everyone's trade decisions this week is that round 14.
Next question is on specific trade out candidates. This one is from Yort50 or at Troy Danaher from Twitter. With the extra trades, is it time to tidy up underperforming rookies now? This is an interesting one because it rolls together a few different things to consider. One, you mentioned before that if you were going to be trading to put players on park, that ideally rookies is not where you want to go. But the other component is that a lot of us are under a fair bit of buy duress because we have rookies that are just missing all of the 3 weeks. And so it's not just about underperforming, but the guys who aren't even getting games, you know, Brockman is an example, right?
Yeah, McRae, Highmore, Fulton, there's plenty.
So rather than trading out a premium who may only be missing 1 week or a guy that you actually want to keep, I mean, there is some temptation to be like, well, you know, if I just trade Brockman out, well, I actually get someone, you know, this week and next week, and I use my extra trades to tidy some of that stuff up. What do you think about that?
I think there's quite a few different things that play into that. And I did make two trades like that, correcting a couple of those rookies maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, preempting the fact that we may be in a similar situation to this, not necessarily the round 14 situation, but just that the buys were going to be tricky carrying non-playing players. But it gets a bit tricky. The number one tricky part is, who are you trading them to? Like, I know we've got Bianco and we've got CCJ this week. There's Reeves, maybe. There's not a lot of other options out there. And the problem is that it really slows your upgrade cadence down. So that means that you're not getting any money for those guys this week. So you can't put that into upgrading to premiums. And the question talked about waiting 4 weeks. Upgrade season's over, well and truly over in 4 weeks' time. You're just holding on for dear life and trading injuries in 4 weeks' time. From an overall rankings perspective, I think it gets really tricky because you're just going to not have that upgrade cadence happening. For leagues, potentially, if you're sitting up at the top couple of the ladder, then potentially you can get away with it. But yeah, I think that it probably slows your upgrade cadence down too much, but you may have to correct one or two of them and use those extra trades. What do you reckon, Matt?
I'm not really looking to solve my playing problem with that particular strategy. Oftentimes, you're better off just, as you were previously, continuing to upgrade around them. The other bit that comes into it, and maybe less relevant for league players, but certainly for overall players, like the rookies that you bring in now, you're really not hoping to rely on them to be able to complete your teams because you're going to have to wait for them to go up in price. You're now at a stage where you need to be finishing your teams and you need to be finishing your teams ASAP. And so it might help you for your buys, but it doesn't help you for your team. You're going to continue to pay the price for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and I've done that before. I think I've gone a little bit hard and focused too much on the buys, especially with rookies, and it's just burnt me later in the season because you don't necessarily have backup on your bench, and it costs you donuts later in the year, so you're sort of losing out anyway.
Yeah. Next question is from Michael Nan on Facebook. What do we do with Madden in the forward line, 176K player with a negative 41 break-even? Madden may be a beneficiary of Leicester doing his hamstring again on the weekend. Do you know if there's been an update in terms of his hamstring, Mark?
I have not seen updates on his hamstring, but I imagine that he came in for Leicester and then Leicester came back and he went out. So if Leicester was injured, that would be very bullish for Madden.
Tom Heimel, he's another one that should be helped by the St Kilda injuries on the weekend. Jaron Geary getting a shoulder dislocation should be help for Heimel.
Yeah.
Only scored 17, so his price generation is somewhat stalled. If he doesn't get a game again this week, the temptation would be to sideswap him. 200K is kind of the minimum, so it's still not what you'd like, but it's sort of creeping up there. Any thoughts about Highmore?
I think a bit comes down to who you can trade him for. So Brockman, you probably have more options to trade him to someone because of the dual position mid-forward. I'm not sure whether there's defensive rookies coming through this week, is there?
Not unless new ones get named. So I think there's some West Coast players that played on the weekend, round, some rookies. Yeah. Yeah, but they don't help for round 14.
No. So I think that becomes a determining factor, right? Like, okay, even if you go Highmore's better to trade out than Brockman, well, you may not have the opportunity to do that.
I guess I'm just trying to find the boundary. Like, is Highmore still a no? Like, what's the minimum before you think about side-swapping some of these underperforming? Can you afford to do one, or are we saying none? Or
it's a really tricky question to answer, and I think I've said tricky probably 14 times in this podcast so far, because it's really team-dependent. I have done some corrections, and if you've got four of these guys in your team, like, kind of doesn't matter. You probably do have to get one or two of them out. You can't just have hard and fast rules for everyone. And then you have to have targets that you're actually trading them into as well. And so I'd love to get rid of Brockman. I can't really see a good way to do that because I need to keep upgrading and there's not enough downgrade options that would actually make my team better. That's where the decision really comes in first. Is there a downgrade option that would make my team better? And am I sacrificing too much by not generating cash? Some teams may have four of these guys in their team and have to correct and look to generate more cash. As I said earlier, now is potentially too late to be making that decision. I did that about 4 weeks ago.
All right, the next question. So Marcus Stent's asking about how we're going to find enough rookies. It's well and good to have the eight trades, but that means that if you're going one up, one down, you're going to need to find four rookies to downgrade to. And some people went early on CCJ and Reeves. There's eight teams that are available this week, but realistically you don't want them because they have the round 14 bye as well. It makes things pretty hairy. I mean, we're kind of hoping for some debutants on the weekend, and then that's going to force some pretty quick decision making in terms of their job security and things like that. What are you keeping your eye out for in terms of how to navigate the required downgrades this week and next, acknowledging that I guess there's not a heap of bubble options for us to consider right now?
So my strategy so far has been to take the good ones that are scoring well when they're available, regardless of buy round and regardless of price. That means CCJ and Waitman have both come into my teams. Bianco came in last week. I just think getting the right rookies, and I know that you sort of said potentially you can't do that in some situations, and you might have been right about that, but my focus has just been on getting the right rookies into my team that I think are actually going to play and score well. I've already got two dead rookies in my team. I just can't be bringing in more dead rookies. I don't necessarily need the cash generation, but I think I might need the cover on the run home. So that's been my strategy so far, and hopefully it plays out. It will be interesting this week. Going to take Reeves just because I think that he's so obvious and scoring well. Looks like they have a good role at Hawthorn. Beyond that, Bianco and CCJ, there's not a lot out there. So having Bianco and CCJ already, I might have to make a bit of a compromised call and just take someone without even seeing them at all. But I'd probably only want to do that once.
So with CCJ's bye next week, that does change from the show we obviously recorded last week. But now that he's a round 14 bye player, if you're scraping to get the numbers, would you still be looking at CCJ as a trade-in this week?
So I guess that the things going against him are that he's 160,000, he has the round 14 bye, and he's susceptible to Lynch coming back. So he's probably not going to be there late in the season. And even if he makes a bucket load of cash, it may be too late for you to really use it to advantage your team. So from that perspective, there are reasons not to pick him. I picked him up last week, get the numbers, get those good points on field. If you've already got him, then it seemed like a really, really good pick last week. Again, back to that, what we said before, you may not have a lot of choices. There may not be other options.
I do think last week was the right week to bring him in. If you're going to bring him in, you know, similar to the Bianco situation, because they play their third game before the buys, it makes sense to get as much juice out of them, which means that you want to put them on field that week as well. And so a bit stubbornly, you know, that would cause me to reconsider just bringing him in just for the 1 week if he's going to cause you round 14 buy pain. I guess you do bring up good points in terms of who is available. Guys on the bubble, Ned Reeves, like you said, a standout. Max Holmes, I guess, is an option. But realistically, I think there's five candidates from Geelong's best 22 to come back this week, including three midfielders. So he seems like actually I really wouldn't touch him as a Geelong supporter. We already have Reeves, but Zach Smith is coming off his bye. He will be bye free. He's 216,000 if you did need a downgrade option there. It's obviously more expensive, but, you know, if you traded Grundy out, you know, maybe he's a guy that you could hang on for a bit longer and not feel too bad that you're missing out on a premium. We're really hoping for some debutants, maybe some of these mid-season draftees, Mark.
That might be what we have to look at, although I think there wasn't as many mature ages picked this time, right? It was mainly like the younger guys looking for development. There's not a lot out there, mate.
Malcolm Roses, I don't know how you say his name exactly, but the Gold Coast player is a forward. He's 124,000. Played Hawthorn in round 11, so just before the bye, and scored 48. If Kieran Briggs somehow gets a game again, he's a deaf forward. He could work with Madden. Job security is definitely not great, but Braden Pruce is injured again. Oh, wow. So the potential of Briggs coming in throughout the rest of the season is definitely still alive when Mumford has a bit of a rest, especially if they continue to play Flynn each week with Mumford.
I think that they look like they do want to play two rucks at the moment, the Giants. So it'll be interesting to see whether that is ongoing. And Briggs may be the sort of player that, rather than just pick someone that's not playing at all, pick someone that you hope might come in at some stage, and Briggs may fit that category because you may be that desperate for a downgrade option.
In terms of around 13 buy-free players, obviously that is another main focus outside the downgrades, the upgrades that we can do for the week, Mark. And the first question we have here is from Shannon Swan via Facebook. Is Whitfield the obvious buy this week? 500K and returning to old form. Now, we asked for questions on Monday. And I think on Tuesday, like today, there was some news that Whitfield and Bobby Hill were training separately from the main training groups. I'm not sure if there's some soreness there. But outside of that, if he gets on park, is he the most obvious selection?
So the injury news is definitely concerning. But he was a lock for me before that. It's a bit tricky considering he had been injured early in the season, missed a huge chunk of games, and they didn't play last week, right? So it's a little bit concerning that he's not in full training. But outside of that, yes, I thought that he was an obvious pick. His potential upside for 500,000 as a defender is very high. I was even considering picking him as my seventh defender and moving Laird into the mids.
Wow, great segue, because Jackson Jones from Facebook asked exactly that question. Now, I mean, it's a little bit of a concession, right? But this is going to be helping people who are struggling to complete their teams rather than trading in a midfield premium who are more expensive. You know, if you can trade in Whitfield and move Laird, and if you get an injury to a defender later in the season, that's your opportunity to correct potentially. It's not something that I would have recommended earlier in the season, but when we're getting to the stakes where it's just about finishing your team and squeezing the most out of it.
That's right. I've definitely been thinking about that. And I know you brought Ridley in just before he went to craft. Maybe even you could use some of your extra trades to upgrade a Ridley. Yeah, I think I'm not totally sold on the idea. It is a compromise, but Whitfield has the potential to average what other premium midfielders average anyway, and he's 500,000 buy free. So the temptation does seem pretty high there.
Yeah, I saved my last backline upgrade for him, and I brought him in prior to the last round, and he scored 120 for me. So I'm obviously very gung-ho on him. Outside of Whitfield, who else should we consider? So Matthew from our Patreon community asked about who we should be thinking about to help the round 14 situation. And does that even extend to potentially bringing in players on the bye this week, like Bont and Parrish? So if you don't like, you know, a few people were talking about, oh, I don't really like Mitchell, I don't really like Kelly, I don't really like Boak. Would you consider trading in a Bont or a Parrish?
If you're in the situation where you have 12 players next week, that may be something that you're more willing to consider. I think planning to bring them in is not a bad idea. So planning to make those trades next week and getting the money and getting the situation organized so you can make that happen is a good idea. Bringing them in this week, you'd want to sort of have at least 21 playing this week, right? That does get pretty tricky. And the interesting, the two you mentioned, Bont and Parrish, are very, very expensive. And I'm not sure how many teams are actually going to be able to bring in players that expensive this week, or this year really, even because of the lack of money generation.
If your team is looking quite solid this week, that potentially it's not a big deal to lose a premium score if it was only going to replace a 70 or, you know, 60. Like, some teams are looking really, really good with only four teams missing and not the most popular teams this week. So I can see that being valuable, but in general, I guess it makes sense to just go buy free. Matthew says money's not an issue for him, so like you said, may not be an option for other people. This next question is from Andrew Barnes. He's getting into specifics around who to trade in this week. So he's listed primo midfielders Boak, Kelly, Mitchell, Duncan, Tuke, Miller. I want to get your thoughts on trade-in options fresh off the bye in the midfield, Mark, and who you'd be channeling your efforts into this week.
Well, I guess I had that option a few weeks ago because I really had to focus on bringing in a round 12 bye player, and I chose Mitchell out of that group. He was pretty poor for me. Week one is doesn't seem to be all there this year. His scoring doesn't seem to be consistent. And then you weigh that up against Kelly, who is probably the best pick of the bunch, but his injury risk is just so high, and been burnt from Kelly before, so I let that one slide. Boak, I expect to get a risk and a rest at some stage, and hasn't been exactly destroying scoring of late. Ollie Wines has had a few. I think his 5-round average is pretty high. Maybe he's an alternative that you'd consider. Tuke Miller was someone I considered at 600,000, but then he scored 150 in his last game, and that's getting to a pretty tricky price to pay for someone that's never actually done it before. I mean, he's had decent averages, but not like elite Supercoach averages. And with Rao coming back and the uncertainty about how that will affect Tuke's role. And what was the other one? Duncan. Duncan missed the last game, didn't he? And he's quite expensive too. So pretty tricky. I think that's why I think some people are going for round 13 buy players, is that some of these round 12 guys are pretty dodgy. And there's risks associated with all of them.
I've got Kelly and Mitchell, and that's just because of upside. I think Boak, Duncan, and Miller look more like 110 averaging players versus Kelly's done 115 four seasons in a row. And Mitchell just has a very high bar, right? Like, we say that Mitchell does look like he's not the same player he used to be, but he's still averaging 106 for the season, which isn't that far off, you know, 110 that we're talking about for Boak and Duncan, which is a bit more traditionally in their range. So I think he gets marked pretty harshly, but his upside's there, and so is Kelly's. Like, the potential to burn you is definitely higher with those two than the other players. I do think Tom Mitchell's very frustrating. I paid 600,000 for him, but at 542, I don't really see the need to be waiting for Parrish next week over Mitchell, especially once you factor in there's like an 80K price differential there to bring in a lot of the most ideal round 13 buy players.
Yeah, I agree with all of that.
So just to wrap up, can we go through if there's anybody that I've missed that you want to call out from a potential trade-in candidate this week? So any hot picks from the brain of Mark? Who should the community be looking at outside of these premium midfielders that we've talked about?
Outside of the guys that we've talked about, you're getting quite speculative. Tom Hawkins is probably someone, if you're looking for a forward, that stands out a little bit just because he does have the premium scoring history in the past. Yeah, outside of that, I reckon you're getting pretty speculative.
Tom Stewart, if anybody's still missing him, I think it's probably seems like a decent get. Aaron Hall's now at 502,000.
I paid 450 for him, and he's been great since I paid that for him. I think in a year where forwards are really hard to find, his role is great. If he stays on the park, I think that he will turn out to be a pretty good pick. So at 500, I don't think it's a bad pick at all.
All right. Is there anybody cheap at all that you would consider, Mark? Peter Laddams, for example, 370K. I mean, obviously, Lysette's out, but he's scored 130 in his last game. Has done all right in patches. Could he be a forward option? Is there anybody who you might look at in terms of that cheaper range? And I guess sort of going back to the commentary before on struggling for downgrades, is there any sort of room to maneuver to mid-prices from the options from the first six teams, do you think, if the rookies don't show up?
There probably is. I haven't really done too much digging in that area because I don't think there's anyone obvious enough for me to be picking them this week. I may look a bit harder the following week. There's no like Heaney, like a fallen premium who's available that cheap that's like fairly obvious if you're going to take a cheap punt.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't think there's a lot of gems in the rough from these first six teams that don't come with some level of risk. We've talked about some of them previously. I guess Jeremy Cameron could be a guy that you take a risk on under 400K. Chad Wingard, old favourite, still gets some centre bounce attendances, but Hawthorn are just doing so poor. But, you know, he's averaged 95 in the past. He's at 433,000. There's certainly some options out there, but all come with a fair bit of risk. The only fall in premium that really calls out is Nick Haynes, but he hasn't really done any premium scoring this year, so it seems too loose to go there, but he's only 304,000.
Yeah, he's got Cumming and Ash probably doing more of the distributing out of halfback this year and has had some injury concerns, but he is someone, at least he's got a premium scoring history and he could come from nowhere sort of thing.
All right, so that's it for this week's show, Mark. Let's do a captain's corner to wrap up. Who do you think you might be looking at for your VC and C this week? Have you been having pretty good luck with that?
I haven't been too bad. I avoided Grundy when he got injured. I had Zach Merritt last week after going Oliver, the vice captain. I haven't been nailing it like you. I haven't had Oliver vice captain every week and been putting 200s in my pocket. It's a tricky week this week. I think that I would have Max Gawn as a standout captain with more than likely no Grundy. And then really probably just speculating on someone before that. So whether it's a Whitfield, Laird, Dusty sort of situation, I think you're getting, there's no one stands out for me. Is there anyone for you that I've missed?
Josh Kelly might be decent against North Melbourne. Callum Mills playing against Hawthorn might be an all right pick as a VC. His last two games against them have been 110 and 132. It's probably one of his more favoured opponents historically, and the Hawthorn have been letting some points go. Rory Laird against St Kilda might be a decent bet as well. 91, 124, and 124 against them in the last three. Jack Steele scored 162 against Adelaide last year, so those may all be pretty decent options.
Yeah.
That wraps up the round 13 show. I don't think we've ever had 8 trades to be able to use across 2 weeks before.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting, isn't it? Have fun using the trades. Why not? It's pretty hot sitting in the car here. I'm going to go for a swim.
Nice. All right. Well, it's been fantastic. Where are you off to next, mate?
Actually going to be at a festival this weekend, so a cultural festival, and so I don't know what the reception's going to be like or how much footy I'll see this week, and then heading up to Katherine and Litchfield over the next sort of 10 days or so. So Litchfield's probably what I've been looking forward to the most out of anything.
Nice. All right, and the trip keeps getting better. I'm glad that we could make this recording work, Mark. We'll catch you when we next can get you on, mate.
No worries, buddy. Good luck.
See ya.
See ya. Don't want this get crazy. Don't want this get crazy.